We're going to look at several verses, and again, my aim is to leave a maximum amount of time for prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, my desire is that you would be in control and that this message would be an encouragement to some, perhaps a challenge, to each of us, a bit of instruction. And I pray, dear Father, that through it all, Jesus Christ may be magnified. For it is in his name that I do pray. Amen. When we think about the love of God, turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to see the full and complete love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We're to internalize this matter of the command to love God. It's not a superficial love. It's not an emotional love. It is what I'll refer to as a relational love. I love my wife. Now that gives me good emotions, gives me good feelings. But the significance of the love that I have for my wife is because of the relationship that we have. It is that relationship which gives the good feelings. In our day, and it's not new to our day, it's been around a long time. People think of love and they get it backwards. And they think of the emotions. They think of the feelings. They have good feelings towards someone. They have a good emotion about someone. But they don't have a relationship. And then, you see, when they fail to develop a relationship, the feelings end. And that's when you'll hear the common saying, well, I fell out of love. No, they didn't fall out of love. They never were in a relationship. And when one gets the sentiments that they express as falling out of love, what they're saying is that what little bit of a relationship we had, it ended. It ceased. Now, the emotions are good. The feelings are good. I wouldn't want to live without the emotions and the feelings, whether that be for my wife or our children or our grandchildren or anyone else that you would have a relationship with that you would term as love. You know, we sometimes can bandy that word love about too freely. Well, I love you. No, what you really mean is I like you a whole lot. But because we have these emotions and these feelings for someone, we tag it as love. We want them to know that it's a special feeling, a special emotion we have for them, and to simply say, I like you a lot. Oh, they don't love me. Well, if you want to diminish what love is, okay, I love you. But it's pulling love down. Okay? And so he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And he goes on to describe the manner in which this relationship will exist. When he says it's going to be with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might, everything that can be there about you is to be put into effect. And what does that mean? That means you're not going to quit quick. You're not going to give up quick. Okay? A boy and a girl, they can have feelings and emotions toward each other, and they'll say, I love you. And then when one does something the other one doesn't like, well, one thing, okay. But by the time they've done a second or third thing, they're history. And then love is over. Well, no, it never began. Okay. All they did was really like them. Now, I'm getting into a realm and an area that's going a direction that I don't really need to go, but it's nevertheless so. And when that's the kind of relationship that a person has with God or with Jesus, obviously it's deficient. Obviously it doesn't last. The problem isn't from God's side, it's from man's side. And so we need to have a full and complete love. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I encourage you to put some kind of marker there. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 3, 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Okay, so the context of this verse and is the matter of the waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice the first part of the verse, the Lord. Now, this is a work that he's asking the Lord to do. The Lord direct your hearts, your inner being. Something, that part that will involve your will. Okay? When it's hearts here, it's not the Red Valentine's heart. It's not the emotions. But it's getting to the deeper core of man. As I said, that part that would involve the will of man. And the Lord direct your heart, how? Into the love of God. Now, it can be understood in two ways. Where he's wanting, Paul writing here, he's wanting these Christians to be directed into the love of God, that they may absorb more of the love of God, that they may find themselves consumed in the love of God. But the other aspect can be that he wants that love of God to be consuming them. Okay? And so he wants them... The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, that you would be absorbed of it, consumed of it, but that it too, okay, you can consume it. Now, like I said, keep your finger there, and we'll go to the book of Jude. In 2 Thessalonians, he's asking the Lord to do this. The Lord direct your hearts. Now in Jude, verse 20 and 21, and the reason I read verse 20 is because 20 and 21 is one sentence. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. All right? You have faith. You have faith God gave you. Well, you're to build up yourself. This is our responsibility. This is what we are to do, to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Then he says in verse 21, keep yourselves, again, our responsibility, keep yourselves in the love of God. So in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, Paul is asking the Lord to direct them into the love, to be consumed by the love of God. For them, okay, to participate in the love of God. But here he gives us the responsibility. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. In other words, if we fail to do this, we will not, God will not be able to do 2 Thessalonians 3:5. He wants to direct us into the love of God. But this is a partnership. This is a teamwork. God isn't going to do this over our desire. God isn't going to do this when we don't care. If a person gets to a point, now I expect you care, you're here tonight. But when a Christian gets to a point where they don't care about loving God, they don't care about the living the Christian life, they don't care about doing what's right, God isn't going to lead them into his love against their will. Amen. And their will is being evidenced by what they don't care about. They go to church when they feel like it. They don't bother reading their Bible. And they can come up with 101 excuses as to why not. Their language becomes the language of the street. And God isn't going to force his will on them. So he says, keep yourselves. That's our responsibility. We are expected to keep ourselves in the love of God. So that means that we can not keep ourselves in the love of God. And that's a bad place to be. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now we know if we're born again, saved, we have eternal life. But the fact of the matter is, as a Christian, we're to keep ourselves in God's love for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This is what is involved in the eternal life experience. See, we can think of this matter of eternal life like I have a card in my wallet, and it proves who I am, okay? And it proves my address, my driver's license. It's my state identification. And there's other cards that I have here, okay, that I use. Now, I got vaccinated, okay? And I have a card that proves that I got vaccinated. Now, maybe you wonder, why'd you get vaccinated? But I'll tell you why I got vaccinated, okay? I'll answer that question for you. A lot of people wonder about it. I didn't care about getting back. I couldn't care about the vaccine. I wasn't excited about participating in the experiment, okay, experimental. You know, now it's the FDA has approved it, but as Pastor pointed out on Sunday, it approved an experimental vaccine.
Yes.
Okay, so it that doesn't excite me. He said, well, then why did you get it? I hate wearing masks. Now, I'll wear a mask if I have to, okay? When I go in a medical facility, I have to wear a mask. I put a mask on, and I don't walk in there scowling, okay? Because I have a mask on. But I prefer not to. And if I got a vaccine, the vaccine, then I didn't have to wear a mask when I go to work at the library. Woo-wee! Okay? That was important to me. You say, you got a vaccine over a mask? That was just a side benefit. I have a daughter that lives in Northern Ireland and a son that lives in Kansas. And if either of them had an emergency that Pat and I felt I should go to them, I did not want to run into restrictions at an airport, whether they were put on by the airline or whether it was put on by the government, okay? I didn't want to run into a hindrance. I wanted to get to my son and to my daughter. And you say, oh, I don't believe that. Hey, aren't you arguing? If you're against vaccinations, aren't you arguing for the right to do what you think? Uh-huh, and I agree with that. Well, then what about my right to have gotten a vaccine for the reason that I told you? You say, well, I don't agree with it. You don't have to. It's my body, and that's just what you're saying. It's my body. I don't want the vaccine. Well, I agree with you. Won't you let me have the same liberty?
Come on, sir.
You see how we can get ourselves all wrapped up in a tizzy over some of these things. Now, where did I get to that from? I don't remember where I got to that from. But you have to be able to evidence that you are a Christian by keeping yourself in the love of God. You know, I'm not interested in what you say. I'm interested in what I see. What would you think if I'd tell you, yeah, I love God, and I live for God, and being righteous is important, and then you saw me going into a bar in Cuba after services on Sunday? What would you think if you were in Walmart and you overheard me cussing? Oh, but I told you I love God. I told you I think living right is important. You see? It's not. Now, saying the right thing is a good idea, but living the right thing needs to support it. And so he tells us here, keep yourselves in the love of God. And we do that when we put him first. Well, that takes care of tonight. Last week we looked at the idea of glorify God. Tonight we looked at the idea of loving God. And we'll look next week at another aspect of this matter of our being a Christian and living for our God. Thank you for watching on live streaming. We trust you'll come on Sunday and join us or